Yeah. So if you believe that, can you declare out loud after me right now? Today, my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name. Why don't you high five someone and say, you are called. Take a seat this morning. We've been called. We've been called. So we're going to discover today what it is to be called by God Almighty, what it is for us to be called. We are a called people. The Israelites call themselves the chosen people. But there's a lot more to that wording or that concept that we're going to discover next Sunday. So make sure you do come next Sunday. And I just want to say, you know, as we start, you would have noticed on your chair, there's the invited card is on your chair. If you just jump up, it's under you right now. And that's for you to evangelize. Do we have any evangelists in the house? Have we got a few around? And so this is for you to evangelize. You can get more of these at the information counter after the service. Grab a handful and let's get them out to our friends, family, neighbors, just weird people, everybody, all the good people. Doesn't matter who they are, because here's the thing. And this is what we're going to discover today, is that as you give that, and that they hear, whether it's if it's for the first time or the 10th time, that Jesus is Lord and he lives, they are called. That is the calling of God. Soon as somebody knows that Jesus exists, that he died, he rose again for them, they are a called people. And today we're going to discover, so you have an invite card, because we are going to get the name of Jesus out into every household in this community. That's what we want to see happen, is every house has the opportunity to come to City Point North at some point in the next coming months, is because we are a called people. This is a called district, that Caboolture, Morayfield, Burpengary, all the surrounding. This is a called place where the name of Jesus will reign in this place, because the church is alive, our Savior is alive, and he's doing the miraculous every day in our community, not just overseas, but right here in Caboolture. So many are called, but few are chosen. You know, when I grew up in church, I've misunderstood or not understood this phrase, this sentence that Jesus said. And for many are called, but few are chosen. I've never really been able to get my head around the wording. For many are called, but few are chosen. And I believe God gave me a great revelation. I'm going to show you today with my team, my basketball team, of how God gave me this revelation actually through the concept of a basketball team. So I'm going to share that with you guys. And I just want to say that this scripture of many are called is not necessarily talking about the revelation scripture of 144,000. Okay, so I grew up wrestling with that concept. And I'm not going to say that it doesn't apply to that in any way at all, but this is not what Jesus was talking about when he said it in the book of Matthew, of the 144,000 in the book of Revelation. So you might have a good understanding today, and that's great, or you might be a bit confused in your understanding of this scripture, but we're going to bring some clarity now. Something that I understand about reading the Bible, studying the Word of God, is you never get a scripture or a verse or even a couple of verses, read them for themselves and just take that at face value. So the way we study the Word of God is we read at least a chapter before and at least a chapter after. And then we try, so we grab it in context like that. And then what we do is we have a biblical understanding or a biblical theology within us, which is just comes from reading the Word of God. That's all it is. And then we take that and bring it in the context of the whole Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. At that point, you might want to call a friend. I often call John and just say, how does this fit into the Old Testament, into the Torah and things like that? And so we get a greater understanding. And then what we do is we take that out of that understanding, and we go, how does God view this? And the only way we can know that, there's two ways that we can know how God might view or the interpretation of that scripture from a heavenly context is one, through knowing the Word of God, and two, by being a prayer, by being a person that has a relationship with God. So we only know God as much as we know the word. But we only ever have a relationship with God as much as we pray and have relationship with him. That's how we form those two. So that's how we look at the word of God. Now, looking at this scripture today, there's six parables leading up from chapter 21. And this is at the end of, or in the middle of chapter 22. So from chapter 21, there's six parables. And all of these parables, in one way or another, Jesus uses these to explain this scripture from different angles. Now, scholars say that the three last parables here are the ones specifically for today's scripture. But when you read the whole six, you'll get a greater understanding and the frame of mind that Jesus was in when he finalized the sixth parable by saying, for many are called, but few are chosen. So the first one is Jesus cleanses the temple. The second one was the fig tree parable that we might know about. The third one was Jesus, his authority was questioned by the Pharisees and the leaders of the day. The fourth parable was the one with the two sons. The fifth was the parable of the wicked vine dresser. And then the sixth parable we're going to look at today, which is the parable of the wedding feast. The parable of the wedding feast. So I'm just going to read from Matthew 22, 2 to 14. You still with me?
Yeah.
All right, verse 22. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. So he's a king, arranged his son's marriage, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Have you ever had a friend in your world and you've given good godly advice? You've invited them into your world. You've given them sound advice, or you've tried to love them, or perhaps you've even tried to tell them about Jesus, but they're just a wall. They're just completely not interested in your advice. They're completely not interested in what you're saying. That's what this verse is the call went out. The call went out for people to come. The invitation, you have an invitation on your seat today, went out for people to come to the wedding, and they just flat out did not want to come. Let's see what these sort of people are like. Then he said again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Just come to the wedding. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their way. In other words, they mocked it. You told them about Jesus, or you told them the great way to live life or to have a good marriage, and they just mocked it at work that day. It was just crazy. One to his own farm. That one went back to his own farm. Another went back to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated him spitefully, and killed them. This is what they did just in refusing. Have you ever known people that... I know a few that you try and give good advice to, and not only do they reject it, they then pull you down with everything they have. I remember when I was in my trade, I was the only Christian in my trade. Every day there was pornography around me. Every day they were just talking the most disgusting stuff. I just can't believe guys could actually even talk like this. And degrading women, and they thought it was honoring women, but it's just crazy mindset. And so I was in my apprenticeship growing up like this, but they knew I was a Christian. I would, whenever a conversation turned to this vulgar sort of conversation, you know, my opinion in it and my discussion and my participation ceased instantly, and they always saw that with me. So I was the good Christian boy in my workplace. And but, you know, often with that, they would see the example of me being a moral person, not even about God or Jesus. It's just about having some standards. And within an instant, they would start ripping me down. And they would just, oh, you little Christian, you know, you church people, blah, blah, blah. They would start pulling me down. And I would get a little bit like, oh, you know. But then I would start pulling Jesus down and the church down. And that's when the hairs on the back of my neck would always rise up. And I'd just be like, Jesus, hold me back because I'm about to be unchristian for a moment. And thank you for your forgiveness, God. I'm going to need that soon. But anyway. And but yeah, they'll just start defaming the church. And in a moment, because of their insecurities or hurt or their lack of self-esteem or their moral grounding that has made them realize that they have none, and so therefore their thought processes and everything like that is down a way in life that they aren't even proud of for themselves. And because of all these things, the only response they could give was to be, rip me down to their level so that way they can communicate with us. Has anyone ever known people like that, or am I just the only one? Yeah, and but this is the thing, is God calls us to love these people, to show grace for these people, to pray for these people, to honor these people. And as we do that, we are honoring the name of Jesus Christ by honoring his creation. That's how they see Jesus through us, is in those moments. We don't need the repentance after, because we've gone beforehand already prepared that, God, I will be the example for you wherever I am. But anyway, I'm just preaching a bit right now, and I just want to get into my basketball session. So the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies. He destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited, those who are called, were not worthy." That's what the king said. "For many are called, but the ones that do not come are not worthy of the call. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We know what Jesus is talking about right now. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Here's the thing about this. Why was the king, or why is Jesus being so harsh about a robe, about what he wore? Don't we just accept people the way they are? Don't we accept how they walk into the church? Yes, we do. But that's not what this is talking about right here. Did you know back culturally in those days, when you were invited to a wedding, the king in this instance, or the dad that was putting on the wedding, he would supply the robes for everyone to wear when they came, a long white linen robes that went down to the ground. And so there were robes supplied for all of these guests that came to the wedding, except for this one guy chose to not wear the robe. There's three things that I want us to take note of. The first one is the refusing people, the ones that refuse the call. These are the people that are attached to their way of life. They are blinded through their perceptions. They are blinded by the enemy to see that there is another way but their way. These are self-centered people. Some were willing to even kill just for being asked. And the king deemed them not worthy of the call. But that's not you. So don't worry about that. So let's lift the atmosphere. That's not you. You're here today, right? All right. So you're the called. All right. The second one is the call people. So this is where you come in. So the room is now full. So we have the wedding feast. Now you'll notice that when he called the bad and the good. In fact, he called the whole Caboolture Morrowfield community and he said, "I want you to come to our feast on Sunday." It's the most amazing service. When you come in, there'll be robes provided. The Lord God Almighty, through His Spirit, will wash you. And as you come in this place, He'll have the hand of forgiveness over your life if you will just receive. When you come, you'll be received. You'll be washed by the blood of the Lamb. So why don't you all come? It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what your plans are for today. It doesn't matter your perspective on life. We want everyone to come. That's the vision I have for this church, and that this church would be full of these people, full of our community, full of people that have been called and answer the call. You and I are the beginnings of that. In this moment, you and I sit here today and we feel like we've made it. We feel like, all right, I'm in. I go to church, I've got forgiveness, Jesus has washed me clean. We're besties, and I'm in. And this is what we are talking about today. For many are called. And next week we're going to talk about the third point, which is the chosen, the chosen. And I just want to try and explain this in a different way. So I'm just going to explain this right now in the way that God showed me the revelation of this scripture. And is it okay to have a bit of fun in the house? Can we do that every now and then? Yeah, so I'm just going to call up just a few people that I've decided that I want to select from my team today. So could I please have Henry Politansky come up, Justin come up, Jesse come up, Jesse Snelling come up. Come on, let's keep the hand going. Can we have Ralph come up to the platform? Brayden, why don't you come up to the platform? Simon Clark, can you come up to the platform? Come on, let's keep it going. Can we have Ryan coming up to the platform right now? Tobin Politansky, will you come up? And Matthew Batista, would you come up right now? Awesome. So church, this is my team. And this is the G team. Where's your headband? Oh, did you... I gave you a headband, man. I gave everyone a headband. And where's the other guys? I don't know what's going on. Is Jesse here? Do you just not want to come up? Okay. All right. What about Ralph? Do we have Ralph? No, it doesn't. Okay. And Simon Clark, well, he decided to serve next door in City Kids and instead of being in church. You know, here's the thing is I called 8 people up. How many do we have? 2, 4, 6. All right, I need a 5 for a team. And so I'm the ref. I'm not going to play. And apparently when I was in school, I was really good. And but I'm just going to hold out. I'm reffing now. So what we have here is we've got 5 people with headbands on. But we've got 1 person that didn't want to put the garment on at the feast. So he was called. He was called. So were 3 other people. They were called. 2 others. That's right, my math. They were called, but 2 didn't even want to come. But sometimes we come to church like Brayden, but we don't wear but we don't wear the garment. Let me put it to you like this. Is next week I'm going to choose my team out of these people. All right, who do you think I'm going to choose? The ones that are... I might choose a new team. I'll get a new selection. But here's the thing. For many are called, but few are chosen. We'll look at the chosen next week. But many are called. You know, we some of us will receive the call. But when we come, you remember when we're talking about the rooms in our house? As for me, my house will serve the Lord. When we come, we don't want to surrender areas of our life. We don't want to put the garment on. We don't want to wear the headband. So we look good. Brayden looks like he's... Brayden's me when I was in school. I always got to this point, okay? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Is I would never put the effort in to become a Tobin or a Ryan. I would never put the training in. I would never put the robe on. What it was required to be the son or the daughter of the king. I would not put on what was required of me to sit in the realms of royalty. And so what my question is, have you been called today, but you're not prepared to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to put on that robe? My question is do we say, yeah, but you know, the Holy Spirit's not really part of the Godhead and blah, blah, blah. Are we prepared to keep down that train of life but walk with that powerless life while the others are around us that are also called are walking in power? What about tithes and offerings? Are we willing to be here every week and see abundance in everyone's life around us who do tithe? And how many testimonies have we come through in the last 3 weeks since Faith, Love, Hope? Like weekly, I'm hearing people that have jobs have changed, work situations have changed, salvation in their families have changed, all by tithing, because they have said, I decided this week that I'm going to tithe, and instantly something shifted in my life. So my question is, would you put on the garment of tithing today? And receive what God has put as a principle for us. You know, what about prayer? What about prayer? You know, to be a child of God and have relationship with our King, we need to put on the garment of prayer, amen? And we need to be prayers. But are you living your Christian life without the power that God brings, without the wisdom? I mean, I know in my world, right, I've got a bit of a prophetic touch in my life, right? And I know that the more I pray, the sharper I am. Man, I see things. I see things in the Spirit. You know, just the other week, last week, I think I did that message and I sat on the chair and I nearly wept the whole way through. See, you thought I was soft, but what was really going on is I was seeing you guys. I was seeing faces as I was reading each room. And the Spirit, He makes you sharp. He makes you sharp in the Spirit when you encounter Him through prayer. Would you put on a garment of prayer today? Would you put that garment of intercession back on? All of you that have been gifted with intercession in your life, would you put that garment back on? Would you put the garment of anointing back on? Of spiritual life-giving confession. I am a child of God. I am redeemed. I am a conqueror. When I walk around the streets of my community, I am walking with the power and the anointing of God. As I walk, as I drive my car, the anointing is coming down these streets. Would you put that garment of confession back on that you once had? Amen. Can we put our hands together for these guys right now? So good. Thank you. I am called. Can you say, I am called?
I am called.
You are, you know. I'm out of time, but I just quickly want to say, when I was younger, my cousin and I used to go out drag racing every Thursday and Friday, Saturday night, and after church on Sunday. And thank you, worship team. And we used to always go to the drags, smoke up competitions, which isn't this smoke up, it's our cars, and smoking up our cars. And my cousin used to do drugs. He used to be a boxer. And nearly every time we went out, he would disappear, go to the toilet, come back about an hour later, all busted up, you know, high. And this was my life every week. It never affected me. God graced me. His grace and love was always around me. These sort of things just have never really affected me, created temptation in my world or anything. But I remember just constantly, just month after month, year after year going out and him just constantly being in fights. Like, this is serious stuff. This wasn't little brawls. Like, you're talking gangs everywhere we went. I mean, it was the drags and that, you know, just gangs everywhere. And he knew them all and was always a part of it. You know, throwing away bag loads of bongs and stuff for him all the time whenever he got repentance came into his heart. And but here's the thing. No one ever knew me for that world. In fact, no one even knew that I was part or in that world. Although many of times I was called, I never engaged in that world. And so, therefore, I was never known for it. You know, one week I was about to go out drag racing, but the guy I brought my first charger from, well, I was in contact with him, and He had a twin exhaust system, and he said, I could have the twin exhaust system if I just went and took it out of his car and put it into mine. Sweet, I can do that in a few hours. So I went to his workshop one night, Thursday night, and I couldn't wait, so excited to go out racing tonight with a twin exhaust on. And I was under his car, hoisted it up, it was just him and me. We pulled down his old exhaust system, putting it in mine, and then his mates rocked up, full of drugs, Eskies full of stuff. And they go, oh, Graham, you want to come out and have some smokes and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nah, man, it's all good. I'll just go and do my exhaust. I'll just do it on my own. It's no problem. I'm pretty strong. I can lift this thing. And so I just kept going. They were outside all doing what they were doing. I went out that night. I was never known for it. You know how you know if someone's received the call? They were up here on platform. See, unless I said the names of the others, none of yous would know that Ralph was called, Simon Clark was called. See, many are called. Many are called. How do I know that you have been called? You've rocked up. That's why we can confess, I've been called. Here you are today. How do I know everybody that listens to this podcast has been called by the Lord God Almighty? They're listening to the podcast. When other people aren't, they are, because there's a call of God in their life. You seeing it? How do we know that this community has been called? Because we give them an invite card and we say, you've been called. Now it's their choice to be chosen. We're going to look at that next week, what it means to be chosen. Because Brayden was also called, but he's not going to be chosen on my team. I want the best. I'm part of the winners team, amen? I just want to finish with this scripture. You've really got to be in the next service when I've got another 5 minutes. It's going to go off. If I do say so. Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, in which he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. But listen, and whatever he does shall prosper. Are you a tree today by the rivers of water? Are you going to answer the call of God and plant yourself in the house of God? Plant yourself in the call of God? Are you going to receive the gifts, the talents, and outwork them that God has given you? Because let me tell you, church, you have been called. Amen. Receive that today. When we close our eyes right now, Father, we just pray in this place, Lord God, as